Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, we ask, Lord, that you warn the people, that you get the understanding of these things, especially about this vaccination, into the hands of people who can spread it and get the word out. And also about the wonderful promises you have of vaccinating your people from all disease, not just this man-made disease called a vaccine. Thank you, Father, for doing that in Jesus' name. Well, we're going to continue with Preserved from the Beast. This is number 18. And we're going to talk about how that there is plenty of proof that the fully vaxxed die, losing all their immunity to every disease. And only God has the cure. You think that's not so? Let's see. I'm going to read you some things from Operation Disclosure. be patient with me. Fully vaccinated people are now suffering from what looks like acquired immunodeficiency syndrome, better known as AIDS. Their immune system is fading, as many have warned. Another one here, vax deaths. Shocking, vax death rate up 5,427%, plus vaccines created dangerous mutated variants. That's coming from the vaccinated. Deadly strains, and so on. There's a link here. And also, Lynn Wood explains the plandemic 5,000% increase in the death rate for the vaccinated. That's here. Vax, a bioweapon that damages cells. Link here for that. I'm not going to go into all of these, but I'm going to go into some of them. The vaccinated people aged 40 to 69 have already lost 40% of the capabilities of their immune system and are losing them gradually at a rate of 3.3% to 6.4% per week, writes the expose. Interestingly, people aged 40 through 49 are in the worst situation, who can completely lose their immune system in about 9 weeks. The most prosperous group are young people aged 18 through 29, for whom this period lasts for about 44 weeks. Elderly people over 80 years old last about 20 weeks. And the age category of 50 to 59, only 15 weeks. All people over the age of 30 will lose 100% of all immunity against viruses and certain cancers. Okay, all immunity. Oh, my goodness. Well, this is what's coming out. And this will happen within 6 months, 100%, within 6 months, warned the expose. 30 to 50-year-olds will lose it by Christmas. Then these people will actually get acquired immunodeficiency syndrome and destroy the NHS, National Health Service. getting a booster vaccination will only speed up the process. Now, I'm going to give you some hope here, so just hang on, okay? The leaders of these Chinese Communist Party discussed vaccination and say that everyone who took the vaccine will be dead. That's interesting. A creepy Chinese internal video conference was intercepted by intelligence and made public by one of the American politicians on Twitter. As part of this video conference, it's obvious that the leaders of the Chinese Communist Party are discussing the future of the United States after the spread of the vaccine. And they said, quote, everyone who took the vaccine will be dead. Sounds from the mouth of one of the speakers. Okay. The leaked excerpt of the intercepted video conference begins with one of the CPC members who organized the video conference telling other participants, quote, most of all, the CPC wants American troops to be vaccinated. As soon as they get vaccinated, the U.S. armed forces will collapse and the CCP will triumph. After the American troops are vaccinated, I tell you that the vaccination against the CCP virus, in fact, will be close to completion. Well, I'm just going to put a little editor's note here. The military is being torn apart by this illegal communist forced plague. And I'll put a link here. I just put a little note here so that please excuse their language. You know how soldiers are, okay? And back to our source here. When the elite society of the USA, out of fear of death, this is the Chinese Communist Party speaking in their own little death cult, due to lack of trust or because these scoundrels, politicians with low reputation, opportunists, want to evade responsibility, especially when Wall Street, Hollywood celebrities, the White House, and the troops are vaccinated. I can assure you that there will be no vaccination problem. People who get vaccinated will soon run out. Those who promote vaccination behind the scenes have probably achieved their goals. Vaccination will no longer be pushed, and an antidote will definitely be offered. Well, it's not what you think. The participant asks, will the antidote appear? And another asks, what is the antidote? The main speaker says this, it's not to cure the harm caused by the vaccines. Well, of course not. They want people dead, right? Especially the military. It's to prevent the transmission of the virus, which is nothing. The virus is nothing, okay? It's not a vaccine cure. Those who have been vaccinated are doomed to death, he says. The antidote for vaccines is still in the hands of the CCP. Since the CCP wants you dead, how can it offer an antidote? Unquote. Yes. This leaked video was made public by Jerome Bell, who is running in Virginia's 2nd Congressional District. And I'm quoting here, check all 50 states, arrest everyone involved, because obviously they're in cahoots with the Chinese, put all those involved on trial, condemn all those involved, hang all those involved, unquote. Okay. Another note here. I'm in agreement with the opinion of the CCP that the vaxxed will ultimately die, except for those who repent and believe God's word. We received a word from the Lord that he only has the cure for this plague. The Lord said through Pam, quote, tell my people to hide themselves, even as you are now hiding. It is disease that I am sending. Only you who truly believe in my saving power will be safe from this pestilence, for it does not originate from this earth. Many people now drawing breath will be dead in a few short months. Well, a note here I put with this is, it's just talking about aliens, right? Which is demons, right? Technology is in the so-called vaccines. And also, we hide ourselves. He talked about hiding ourselves, right? We hide ourselves in the belief of scriptures. like the secret place of the Most High in Psalm 91. You'll notice that he offers complete deliverance from all plagues in that psalm. Go and read it, okay? But the secret place of the Most High is Jesus Christ, abiding in Christ, who is the Word of God. If you abide in the Word, you have got no problems. So men have added to and taken from the eternal covenant and taught others to do so. These are under the curse of the plagues in Revelation 22, 18 and 19. I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto them, God shall add unto him the plagues which are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the tree of life and out of the holy city, which are written in this book. Believe God, don't believe men. Believe God. This is a mortal threat here from God. Those who have eaten the whole Passover lamb, Jesus Christ, the Word of God. You can't separate Jesus from the Word. He's called the Word of God, right? They're going to have a Passover from the plague. This represents having our minds renewed with the true original Word and believing in the blood of the covenant that Jesus shed to save and to heal us from the curse that's on sinners. These will escape the plagues. Jesus paid the price, if you can believe it. Galatians 3 and 13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. All the sickness is listed there in Deuteronomy of the curse of the law. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree or a cross. 1 Peter 2:24 says, who in his own self bare our sins in his body upon the tree, that we, having died unto sins, might live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. And why not be healed? Because if he takes away the curse of sin, why wouldn't he take away the penalty? He does, and many, many people know that and can give testimony to their healing by standing upon the Word. And you preachers out there who deny divine healing is in the atonement, what are you going to do when the people you sent to get death jabs start dying in masses and their relatives find out that you sent them to their death? Because you don't have any faith in the Word of God. God's vaccine works for all sicknesses, even the jab, for those who believe. And I got a link here to our free book. Anybody can read it. Okay, back to Operation Disclosure. Surviving the Plandemic, Scamdemic. And a link there to another article. And it goes on to say, how many politicians, governmental agencies, social and mainstream media, including school boards, have been bribed to perpetuate the deception that lockdowns, masks, and vax mandates work and are safe? They have censored safe, effective, inexpensive treatments over the other extremely expensive therapies. Therapies studied have shown to have extremely high mortality rates. Remdesivir and ventilators are a death sentence, according to major studies. Listen, this is what the hospitals are commanded to use. Why? They want to kill people, but they are used as the preferred treatment with major kickbacks to the hospitals and doctors that prescribe it. Pneumonia and kidney failure are due to remdesivir, according to major case studies, and they knew it. Hospitals have become the new killing fields. Ivermectin has not killed anyone. I'm not preaching ivermectin, but it's something that the world can use until they find out about Jesus, okay? And it hasn't stopped most, but it does. It hasn't killed anybody. It's been around for 60 years of safe, proven efficacy. It is authorized by the NIH and the FDA, always has been, despite the pathological liars in the mainstream and social media. Hydroxychloroquine has also been used for decades safely and outperforms remdesivir and the jabs. Jabs which are now proven to seriously injure and kill the recipients, the scale of which is extremely censored. A document just released by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, FDA, openly admits that the infamous PCR test for the Wuhan coronavirus, COVID-19, was developed not with actual samples, but rather with what appears to be genetic material from a common cold virus. In the FDA document, it is clearly stated that ordinary seasonal flu genetic material was used as the testing marker in the PCR test kits, because the authorities knew that many people would test positive for it, thus allowing them to use these results to create the COVID narrative. Yep, and to put you in the hospital and assassinate you. Yeah. Okay, the vaccine is a bioweapon, former Pfizer biotech analyst. Proof that the vax tracks the vaccinated. Karen Kingston, former Pfizer employee and biotech analyst, exposes the vaccine bioweapon and what's in it that harms us and how it tracks humans. And here's a link to that, too. It's also on Before It's News. Former CDC director Robert Redfield said more than 40% of the people who died in Maryland over the last 6 to 8 weeks were fully vaccinated. The U.S. CDC failed to refute, quote, clear, consistent, and irrefutable scientific evidence proving the superiority of natural immunity over vaccination, unquote. In an official exchange of views with the Action Network for Informed Consent, ICANN, and there's a link to this too if you want to read it, bombshell, UK government data, 70% of COVID deaths are double vaccinated. That's from Red Voice Media, and there's a link there. Graphene oxide has now been confirmed to be found in vax vials, in masks, in swabs, and now in hand sanitizer. Oh, they're feeding these foreign bugs that are crawling around in the body of the person who got vaccinated. They want to drown us in graphene oxide. What on earth is the purpose of this highly conductive material to be present in all aspects of this scamdemic? I dare not think of the answer. Well, it's they're making a computer program out of you that can be accessed by a cell phone or a computer and can take you out anytime they want to. Going on, researchers warn of heightened risk of HIV with certain COVID-19 vaccines. Link to that. Hospital COVID-19 treatments are literally killing humans. A combination of drugs called remdesivir, dexamethasone, and vancomycin being used in hospitals to treat the fake virus is causing massive kidney failure and subsequent filling of the lungs with liquid. Dr. Brian Artis. Healthcare workers speak out on why they would rather lose their jobs than take a COVID-19 vaccine. Yep, there's a link to that. Vaccine mandates will endanger national security if Biden follows through. Cash's Corner, a link to that. COVID vaccines linked to 7 rare neurological complications. Scientists say this, using data from 32 MN vaccinated million vaccinated adults, researchers from Oxford and Edinburgh have found Guillain-Barré syndrome affects 38 more people per 10 million after receiving a first jab. GBS impairs the immune system, resulting in muscle weaknesses and, in more severe cases, paralysis. The study also found that strokes or cerebral hemorrhages increased in an estimated 60 people per 10 million within 28 days. The risk greater for females, especially after a Pfizer shot. The experts emphasized the adverse events were so rare that they had to report their incidence in millions, and stressed those infected without vaccination were at greater risk of the same seven neurological conditions. The death jab is loaded with over 47 pathogens, including HIV, proteins, graphene oxide, mRNA, luciferase, human DNA, fetal tissue, animal DNA, monkey cells, liquid metals such as mercury, and the list goes on and on. So, we've been told that the man-child is coming to finish the job. Okay? In Hosea 5, chapter 6 through 15, I'm going to just point some things out to you here. They shall go with their flocks and with their herds to seek the Lord, but they shall not find him. He hath withdrawn himself from them. They have dealt treacherously against the Lord, for they have borne strange children. Now, you know strange children are those who don't look like the Father, right? This speaks of apostate Christians raised by their usurper leaders who don't look like, talk like, or think like Jesus, so that the Lord has to bring judgment. Because the whole thing is bearing 30, 60, and 100-fold fruit of Jesus in order to go to heaven. And as we see today, Deep State Babylon has attacked apostate Christianity with this pestilence, which would have never been a problem if they'd held to the Word. They are following their leaders instead of the Lord's Word, and now they are dying because of it. Now shall the new moon devour them in their fields. Ephraim, northern ten tribes, shall become a desolation in the day of rebuke. And these are known to be the non-spirit-filled people. And, of course, they just follow their preachers. They don't get into being filled with the Spirit like we're commanded, and the gifts and the power of God as like we're commanded. Okay, that's who these represent. Among the tribes of Israel have I known that which shall surely be. The princes of Judah are like them that remove the landmark. Yes, the leaders of spirit-filled Christianity, that's what Judah represents, have removed the boundaries and let people do what they want to do instead of committing to be a disciple of Christ and obey the Word of God. I will pour out my wrath upon them like water. Ephraim is oppressed. He is crushed in judgment because he was content to walk after man's command. Therefore am I unto Ephraim as a moth, and to the house of Judah as rottenness. When Ephraim saw his sickness and Judah saw his wound, then went Ephraim to Assyria. They went to the beast, didn't they? And sent to King Jareb, but he is not able to heal you, neither will he cure you of your wound. For I will be unto Ephraim as a lion, and as a young lion to the house of Judah. I, even I, will tear and go away. I will carry off, and there shall be none to deliver. I will go and return to my place, till they acknowledge their offense, and seek my face. And in their affliction they will seek me earnestly. Okay, this is where all this is going to bring the apostate people of God. in all this trouble, in all this death, they're going to seek me earnestly, he said. The first fruits man-child and bride companies must intercede for the people of God, that they acknowledge their offenses towards God, and that they will seek his face earnestly, and then the anointed man-child will come. And he has the cure, just like we have the cure, except he's anointed in a much more powerful way. Amen? Okay. So that leads us, this repentance and this crying out to God and all that leads us to Hosea 6, 1 through 3. Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us, and on the third day he will raise us up. Why is it taken this long from the time of Jesus? Of course, these days are 1,000 years, right? For God's people to repent. Well, look at the massive judgment that is about to unfold like a geometric progression on the people of God, who were told by their preachers in many cases, go get this so we can have some peace and safety. Yeah. And we shall live before him. Let us know, let us follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is as sure as the morning. That's the morning of the third day. That's where we are right now. And he will come unto us as the rain, as the latter rain that watereth the earth. So he comes after his people are crying out to him in repentance of this curse that they're under, not understanding why. It's just that they'd been lied to, that's all. And they didn't go look for themselves, you know. So this is how the Lord is coming. He's not coming in the air. He's coming in the man-child ministers as the latter rain, just as he came in Jesus, the man-child, in the former rain. History always repeats. The Word of God tells us so. So what we have learned thus far is that the movement through Cyrus to bring down the factious Edomite Babylonish deep state is running into much opposition around the world. We know from Scripture that the Edomites fall through the hand of the David man-childs. He put garrisons in their city after conquering them. So that represents the man-childs. They're going to be the ones to do this. They're going to be the ones to finish this. I don't believe that man will be able to finish this. God wants to get the glory. So what we need to do now is to repent and pray in the anointed man-child, Mordecai, for instance, who will raise up Esther, the bride, who makes requests to the King of Kings, and the king then gives them authority over the beast kingdom, as happened in Esther, and everything was turned around. Esther 7, 1 through 10 says this, so the king and Haman came to the banquet with Esther the queen, and the king said again unto Esther on the second day of the banquet of wine, what is thy petition, Queen Esther? And it shall be granted thee. And what is thy request? Even to the half of the kingdom shall it be performed. You know, the king was impressed with Esther, and everybody's going to be, because Esther represents the bride, the one who is walking in the steps of Jesus. Then Esther the queen answered and said, if I have found favor in thy sight, O king, and if it please the king, let my life be given me at my petition, and my people at my request. For we are sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be slain, and to perish. Verse 5, then spake the king Ahasuerus, and said unto Esther the queen, who is he, and where is he, that durst presume in his heart to do so? And Esther said, an adversary and an enemy, even this wicked Haman. Then Haman was afraid before the king and the queen. He better be. And of course, the king here is the King of Kings, and he represents the Lord. And Esther has his ear and his favor. And the king arose in his wrath from the banquet of wine and went into the palace garden, and Haman stood up to make request for his life to Esther the queen, for he saw that there was evil determined against him by the king. Then the king returned out of the palace garden into the place of the banquet of wine, and Haman was fallen upon the couch whereon Esther was. Then said the king, "Will he even force the queen before me in the house?" As the word went out of the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. Of course, he had been tripped by an angel. That's what happened. And then said Harbona, one of the chamberlains that were before the king, "Behold also the gallows 50 cubits high, which Haman hath made for Mordecai, who spake good for the king, standeth in the house of Haman." He's got the hangman's noose right there in his own house. And the king said, "Hang him thereon." Oh, this is a real reversal of fortunes here, right? The leadership of the faction fell into their own trap, as God has said in his word. Verse 10. So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then was the king's wrath pacified. So, from here, Mordecai and Esther were given the authority over the beast body, meaning the deep state and the factious people. And we see the same thing in Joel chapter 2, where the beast was conquered, the apostate people of God, the northern 10 tribes, and is intent on conquering Jerusalem, the bride. But God hears their cry and saves them, destroying the northern army. Let's read it. There's some interesting things there, too. You see all these parallels, okay? Joel chapter 2, 1 through 21. "Blow ye the trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, as the dawn spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong. There have not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after them, even to the years of many generations." Well, I declare to you that's the deep state. Okay? And, of course, back then it was the beast kingdom that was attacking God's people and had already conquered the northern 10 tribes, which were apostates and their golden calf and so on and so forth, and now was headed towards Jerusalem, which is the bride. That's a different story. Verse 6. "At their presence the peoples are in anguish. All faces are waxed pale." Verse 10. "The earth quaketh before them." Verse 12. "Yet even now, says the Lord, turn ye unto me with all of your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God." For so here we are, back in the same place. People of God are being called to repent and believe the truth. "For he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abundant in loving kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Who knoweth whether he will not turn and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meal offering to and a drink offering unto the Lord your God." Amen. And verse 15. "Blow the trumpet in Zion." Yeah, here comes the beast, right? Here comes the deep state, right? They're going to wipe out apostate Christianity with their plague because they don't know any better. They never read their Bible. "Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call assembly, a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the assembly." This is it. Sanctify the assembly, right? "Assemble the old men, gather the children and those that suck the breasts. Let the bridegroom go forth from his chamber." Oh, and the bride out of her closet. Well, notice, as we have already seen, after repentance, the man-child in whom the groom lives and the bride are revealed. They're hidden. They're in the closet, in the chamber. Okay, but now they come out. When? When the northern army is attacking, or about to attack, excuse me. So, verse 17 says, Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thy heritage to reproach, that the nation should rule over them. Amen. Wherefore should they say among the peoples, where is their God? Well, we ought to find out who is their God. That's one of the biggest problems. Verse 18, then was the Lord jealous for his land and had pity on his people. And the Lord answered and said, and again, he's talking about the bride here. They had already conquered the northern 10 tribes. And the bride, who of course is not going to take any vaccine, you know, for goodness sake, they got faith that the Bible says what it says. And the Lord answered and said unto his people, behold, I will send you grain and new wine and oil, and you shall be satisfied therewith. He's going to bless the bride. And I will no more make you a reproach among the nations. But I will remove far off from you the northern army, and will drive it into a land barren and desolate. Its forepart into the eastern sea, its hinder part into the western sea, and its stench shall come up, and its ill savor shall come up. That's because they're dead and stinking on the seashore, right? Because it hath done great things. Does this sound familiar? Sure. This is as Pharaoh and his army, and the deep state and their army, going down in the Red Sea, right? And they were all, you know, on the seashore and stinking. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord hath done great things. Why? Because Esther the bride cried out to the king, right? Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring. For the tree beareth its fruit, and the fig tree and the vine do yield its strength. Fruit is going to be borne by the people who believe the word of God, and they are safe from the beast attack. Verse 23, be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he giveth you the former rain in just measure, and he causes to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. Well, there it is again. We just saw in Hosea the same thing. They repented. God came as the latter rain. All right. So, and we see that it's here that the man-child brings forth the latter rain revival as the deep state beast is conquered. And the people of God bear much fruit under the man-child's teaching, and it was in the former rain, under Jesus. And the floor shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with new wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, and the cankerworm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent against you. And, of course, the people of God here, it was the bride, of course, that was being attacked, will be restored from the years of the curse, as it was when they came out from under Pharaoh to follow Moses, the man-child. And there was not one feeble one among them. Amazing. For at least a couple of million people to be that way. I'm telling you, when the man-child comes, he's going to heal God's people. Massive healing is coming, and deliverance, and restoration of life. And you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and shall praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be put to shame. And you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and there is none else. My people shall never be put to shame. Yes, that's true. But a lot of other people who call themselves God's people will be put to shame. So as we can see, the people had to come to disrespect their apostate leadership, who led them to destruction by encouraging them to go get vaccinated so that they could safely meet together again. These apostate leaders in the church were not teaching them all along about faith and the truth about healing from the Word of God, which the man-child reformers ministries will demonstrate. They will believe it teach it and demonstrate it. And the condition for deliverance from the plagues is obedience to the principles of God as the man-child will teach them. Like in Exodus 15 and 26. If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, not your preacher, the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his eyes, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases upon thee, which I have put upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. And the firstborn of Egypt is the old man. It's the firstborn is the flesh, is it not? Not the secondborn. The firstborn is the flesh. People who walk in fleshly ways, they're Egyptians. It don't matter whether they call themselves Christians. If you walk after the flesh, you must die, Paul said. Psalm 103, 2 through 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. It's so simple. You just go and confess your sins unto God. Make sure you believe they are sins and confess them as sins. And he will forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. 1 John 1, 7 through 9, right? Who healeth all thy diseases, all of them, you know, even this plandemic. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. There's massive destruction out there. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy desire with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagle. There it is again, a restoration. 1 Peter 2:24 says, who his own self bare our sins in his body upon the tree, that we, having died unto sins, might live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Now the apostates say that's just spiritual healing. What gives them a right to say that? After Jesus healed multitudes, his disciples healed multitudes. What gives them a right to say that? They're destroying, taking from the Word of God and adding to the Word of God. The people will blame the apostate preachers for their pain and suffering and the curses that are come upon them because of their ignorance and the idolatry and their blind faith in following a man rather than reading their Bibles for themselves to discern good and evil. Judgment begins in the house of God. 1 Peter 4:12 through 19 says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial among you, which cometh upon you to prove you, as though a strange thing happened unto you. But inasmuch as you're partakers of Christ's sufferings, rejoice that in the revelation of his glory also, that means the revealing of his glory in you, right? You may rejoice with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are ye. I know you tried to tell people about this and they ignore you or they, you know, disregard you and so on. Because the Spirit of glory and the Spirit of God resteth upon you. For let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a meddler in other men's matters. But if a man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. Let him give glory to God in this name. For the time is come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins first with us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Oh, it's going to be bad. Wherefore, let them also that suffer according to the will of God commit their souls in well-doing unto a faithful Creator. Listen, draining the church swamp is most important to God. This is why the man-child needs to come now, and we need to pray him in. Amen? Missy asked the question on 10/24/21. Why hasn't the man-child been anointed yet? Well, we're looking at the series of events, so we know that already, but I'm going to continue. I asked Missy to clarify her question, and she said that basically she was asking, why hasn't the man-child been manifested in his man-child ministers yet? She received by faith at random for this question, Job 32, 21 through 22. And the finger was on the last phrase. Let me not, I pray you, respect any man's person. Neither will I give flattering titles unto any man. Did you know the Apostle Paul didn't run around calling himself Apostle Paul? Neither did any of the rest of them, you know? No, they didn't make titles. For I know not to give flattering titles, else would my Maker soon take me away. Well, we've seen an awful lot of apostles and prophets that live up to neither one. And Missy said she feels this text is pointing out that many Christians are misplacing their hopes and admirations in their religious leaders and Trump coming back as president to save them from the deep state beast rather than crying out to the Lord to be their Savior. Well, this is true. Our faith has to be in God. Trump can do nothing without God giving him the help. We know what the Bible says about him. We favor him in what he is doing, and we want him to finish the job. But I'm telling you, he hasn't gotten this far without the prayers of God's faithful people. Eve received by faith at random on 10:25-21, Psalm 119:120. In context, 118 through 128. Thou hast set at naught all them that err from thy statutes. For their deceit is falsehood. Thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore I love thy testimonies. My flesh trembleth for fear of thee, and I am afraid of thy judgments. I have done justice and righteousness. Leave me not to mine oppressors. Be surety for thy servant for good. Let not the proud oppress me. Mine eyes fail for thy salvation and for thy righteous word. Deal with thy servant according to thy loving kindness and teach me thy statutes. I am thy servant. Give me understanding that I may know thy testimonies. Seek out the Lord. Find out what the Bible has to say about healing and health and plagues. You will be surprised. 126. It is time for the Lord to work, for they have made void thy law. Therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. I hate every false way. Well, Michael posted this word from the Lord on our blog recently. It was called The One Word, that's W-O-R-D, Order. And it was Kolya, September the 14th, 2021. All right, this was a Rhema word, 9/13/21, entrusted to Kolya. And it was released just prior to Yom Kippur. Okay, listen to this. Little one, are you ready for my hard reset of your world? It is best that you prepare now, for in an instant of my choosing, the brakes on this runaway world will suddenly be applied down to the floor, to the foundations, bringing this global wickedness to an abrupt halt. When that happens, there will be a hard tossing about with slamming, banging, and pain for those who are not braced, awake, and aware. And this kind of reminds me of Eve's dream of the US/China train coming to a sudden halt. Is it happening? Yep. Most of those containers out there are blocking China from bringing in goods because they cooperated with this assault on the American people. And, of course, Trump did an executive order to forbid anybody trading with the U.S. who had been a traitor like this. Do you remember the report of the loud shrieks of horror and mourning that arose in Egypt's night at the death of their firstborn? Truly I say unto you, it shall happen again on a worldwide scale. Do you hear that? As I bring forth the disclosure of the truth that will shatter hearts, minds, idols, and strongholds by the power of truth, that will not be held back, modified, or contained behind closed doors, the cries of anguish and despair will finally bring the level of breaking necessary for the people to realize how wickedly they have been deceived and how eagerly they have ingested the poisons promoted by the deceivers. They will think that all is lost as they see the price that they have paid for their blindness, stubbornness, pride, and fear, as no household was untouched by the grief arising throughout Egypt at the time of the first Passover, so shall it soon be in our day. Only the households that heeded my warning and those who obeyed my voice will be spared the depths of the pain. The righteous will mourn and grieve for those around them. They will weep for those across the world who will be writhing in unspeakable agony of soul in the realization of the pit into which they have fallen. I will allow the righteous to feel the pain of seeing the losses among those who they love, but I will not allow them to go into the deepest depths of soul pain, only into the depths of intercession that will lessen the pain in others. My compassion will undertake. Amen. Have I not said that those who did not love the truth would fall into deception? Too few believed my word regarding that matter. As I am the first truth, whom they are to love, those who have fallen, who had a shallow, fickle affection for me, will find out the grave consequences of being casual about truth and without true love. And the results of accepting as fact only those things that fit into their own grid, into their prideful grid of comfort and human knowledge. They will feel horrifically betrayed, and well they should. Their own souls have betrayed them because their love of my truth and of my reality was only partial. And in the pain of their consequences, they will have the opportunity to exchange an appreciation of truth for a committed love of the truth. Not only am I truth and love, but I am also justice and commitment. Human justice and convenient human commitment will be humiliated through what is to be revealed soon. The deep falsehoods in the human premises will be shattered as my truth comes down like a hammer. Truth will not come down as a soft rain, for rain requires years to erode rock and to move mountains from their place. There is no time for that now. A rock smasher and a mountain crusher are needed to awaken the sleepers and to expose the truth before all is lost. And it's true that we're headed towards the tribulation period. God's got to awaken people. It's going to take the hammer. The people out there who have believed their preachers and are not Christian. Christian means Christ-like. Christ had power. And he said all those that believed in him would have that power. The enemy has been working his plans with wicked brilliance. I have allowed it to unfold in order to entrap him and all those who are in league with him. The lies which have provided the glue to secure their wicked plans and mandates of unholy power are about to be changed into a slime. That slime will be powerless to hold their deceptions together. The road which has been cemented into place through their deceit will begin to sink and separate. Where then will they walk in their prideful power? Who will join them on that slimy road once the truth is exposed? All this will come, but first the howls and the tears must come to soften the hardened hearts and to bring them to the melting point in the laser light of hot truth. My way is righteous and wise. You must trust me. The fear of me has been replaced with the fear of man. The awe of me has been replaced with the awe of inventions and technology. The awareness of human vulnerability has been replaced with an awe of intellectual prowess and confidence. All of these strongholds of wicked false worship and of arrogant disregard of me, all the strategies designed to supplant and to replace me, will be brought down into dust. It is good to be down on your knees in this hour, as the final round of increasing shaking takes place. On your knees, you will be properly positioned before me. Those on their knees will not be knocked down as the world rocks. Their personal kingdoms will not fall down upon their heads. The posture of submitted humility will be the place of safety for those who seek me and who abide in me. And me here is the Word. Go find out what the Word says about healing and health and what God provided for you as a Passover. But be advised, what is about to take place will greatly disquiet your souls. Do not allow the pain you see manifesting in the multitudes, nor the shrieks of those you love, cause you to mistrust or to despise me. Trust me that the process I bring forth will set my great harvest into place. Go to your knees soon and remain in a spiritual posture of humility before me as these days unfold. The enemy of your souls will put up an even greater fight to retain power and to seize even more. I have already declared the boundary set against this advance and have put that boundary into place. It will not be moved by him, nor by any of his associates. It will stand firm, for I have decreed it. Get out of the way of what I am about to allow and do. Move into the place of safety as I direct you. Do not fear and do not depend upon your own survival strategies. Simply abide in me and be well. I will not allow more than you can handle. Have I not entrusted the words of truth in Psalm 91 to be a Holocaust blanket and a sure safety to surround you? Declare those words and find safety in the shelter of those promises. Know that the wailing of the masses will seek to disquiet you, to take you in fear and doubt. Don't go there, but rather profess your faith and stay in the Spirit at all times. Lock down in me and hold. Gather in those who are standing, but who are weakening. Be a support of faith for each other. Share the treasure and the provision which I have given to you in this hour. What I provide will be more than enough. Entrust your troubled heart to me. I will hold it securely and will fill it with all love and hope that you will need. Know this, I am fully in control. There is nothing out of my hand, plan, or notice. There will be many who have been on the fringes of faith, who will declare that my way is not good. They will feel the horror of the unveiling, and then cry out that I am cruel for allowing such things. I am more compassionate and patient, more loving and kinder than any of you can fathom. My path is a hard one because the rebellion is very deep and widespread, consuming a great portion of humankind. unless there is a clearly visual manifestation revealing where the influences of rebellion and deceit have taken your world, the changes in hearts will be only temporary and shallow. There are lessons to be learned. There are people to be reborn. There are powers of great evil embedded in every facet of human life that must be disclosed and stripped. As a result, these painful measures are necessary. I will allow only the smallest level of suffering required to bring the vital changes. The length and depth of human suffering will be determined by the speed at which the hearts and minds submit to the purpose of the shakings. See to it that you lovingly, clearly tell the ignorant and the arrogant the truth about what is happening and about what will yet happen. If you do not speak the truth to them, the hollow spaces formed within their human souls because of the shaking will be quickly filled with more lies, bringing more rebellion and more defiance against me. Cooperate with my plan to bring a great awakening and see the glory come to your world as a result. Hold on tightly to me. The most violent shaking is about to come. Hold. Rest in me. Do not withhold the truth from the terrified and the perishing. The deceptions that have held them are about to crack. The trauma and terror of it will bring forth good fruits as we work together. All will be well. Trust, stand, obey, and believe. I am with you, and I am in charge. In the final analysis, you will bless me for what I am about to allow, as well as that which I am about to bring forth from my own hand. Hold and thank me in advance for the glory which is soon to come to your world to change everything. Prayer changes things. Well, friends, you heard the decree. Will you be an Esther and change the decree? Like Esther interceded for her family and her people of God, that they repent and accept God's word and turn this thing around, so we can too. Many times God changes a decree when touched by faith. Pray for your loved ones and cover them. All things are possible to him that believeth. We have prayed for people who have taken both shots and seen healings. We have prayed for those who were infected by those who got the jab and seen healings. And we've prayed for lost friends and seen healings. Some people who got the shots got placebos and, of course, show no infection. And some only got the first shot and show a lot less trouble. Cry out for mercy, and God answers that prayer more than most any. The revival of the Man-Child Ministries will heal multitudes when they believe. Mark 11:24 is still true. He says, "Therefore I say unto you, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them." Well, amen. Well, Father, we ask, Lord, that the brethren will take hold of what you have said today and the warnings that you have pointed out, and, of course, will tell the people, warn the people, not to take this prelude to the mark of the beast, because that's what it is. Lord, thank you, Father, for what you're doing. Thank you for your deliverance for your people and your healing that you have provided for them. In Jesus' name. God bless you, saints. We'll do this again sometime. Good night.